This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Got ugly late. If you didn't stay up, woo, you missed the show. Yankees and Rays. Yankees finally beat the Rays, first and foremost, 5-3. We'll get to the details of that in just a few minutes, but the real story came in the ninth inning when things got chippy between the Rays and the Yankees. Now, we know that all season long, it's been a little bit tense between these two teams. Apparently, a couple of different times, the Yankees may have felt that the Rays were coming up and in with some pitches and didn't really appreciate it. We know that earlier this year, when it started in Tampa back in early August, the first series of the year, these two teams were barking at one another from their dugouts respectively. So in the first inning on Tuesday night, Masahiro Tanaka, with two out, hit Joey Wendell, who is the third hitter in the order. He threw a fastball low and in that was directly at his legs that Wendell danced out of the way of, and then he just threw one right into his hip. He was trying to drill him both times, and the Rays seemed to just take that as if, okay, this is just the simple retaliation for whatever the problems have been here, and they seem to move on with it. But the ninth inning is where it got ugly. And just to give you a brief recap, Aroldis Chapman comes in on a 1-0 fastball. He threw up and in to Wendell. On an 0-1 fastball, he threw up and in to Austin Meadows. Keep in mind, these are at 100 miles an hour. They weren't at their heads, but they weren't very far off. And then Mike Brasso, pinch hitting, caught a fastball on the first pitch going behind his head. He got out of the way of it, but it was a scary freaking moment. So all the umpires get together, they discuss it, they issue warnings. Kevin Cash gets all bent out of shape, gets thrown out of the game because he argued it. Then, really, in making things worse, Chapman strikes out Brasso and then gives him the Chapman stare down. Brasso starts to walk away, but then the teams start jawing at one another. The bench is clear. No punches were thrown, but it was clear nobody was particularly happy with the situation. But it got worse, and it got worse from the words of Rays manager Kevin Cash.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It was mishandled by the Yankees, certainly the pitcher on the mound. It was mishandled by the umpires. They hit Joey Wendell intentionally in the first inning. It was clear as day. Chapman comes in. He throws three different balls up and in. I get it. They don't like being thrown up and in, but enough's enough. We were talking about 100 mile an hour fastball over a young man's head. It makes no sense. It's poor judgment. Poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. The chirping from the dugout. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, go pull the numbers, who's hit who more. But I can assure you, other than the 3 years ago, there hasn't been one pitch thrown with intent from any of our guys, period. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour. Period.
Wow. That's where Kevin Cash got out of line. All of his other comments were perfectly in line with being upset, and you understand why. But that last 98 mile an hour comment, that's utterly ridiculous. And the emotions of the moment clearly got the better of him. Those comments were relayed to Aaron Boone in his post-game news conference, and here's what he had to say.
That's pretty scary comments. I don't think that's right at all. But I'm not going to get into it right now.
Boone really did not want to engage very much on it whatsoever. He was asked if he thought both teams would get a warning before the game on Wednesday.
Well, maybe based on those comments, and if it gets inflamed anymore, I guess that's possible, yes.
So there you have it from Boone's standpoint. Here's Brasso, and keep in mind that he's coming in the game and pinch hitting, and he had some strong opinions about the entire situation.
If anybody wants to talk about the unwritten rules of baseball and sending a message, I believe that was done in the first inning with Joey. usual protocol with that happens is you kind of you get the message and you move on. As far as if there was actual intent behind Chapman's delivery, not really sure. But, yeah, pretty frustrating, honestly. It's not what you want to see coming in off the bench, especially when we pretty much let everything go after Joey took the message for us and did it like a man, kind of just took it and carried on with the day. But if there was any intent behind it and they want to send another message, I guess they made their point.
They more than made their point with that. But when we say they, it's really he. This was all about Chapman, and we'll get to that in a second. Just a little bit more reaction from the whole situation. And first of all, we go to DJ LeMahieu on the whole situation and what he expects now.
The comments from their manager, you know, those made their rounds pretty quick in our clubhouse. You know, it sounds like, you know, obviously that's a pretty serious threat, but, you know, it is what it is. Be excited to get going tomorrow again. You know, sounds like they're going to try to throw at us tomorrow. You know, we'll be ready.
Kevin Kiermaier indicated that Phil Nevin was also instigating it a little bit, the Yankees' third base coach. So this was really blowing up even more after the game. It was very clear that when you go back and look at what happened now with that context, with this backdrop, the Yankees and Masahiro Tanaka had taken care of this in the first inning. If there was real animosity there, the Rays were willing to just deal with the consequences of it. Wendell took his base, chuckled as he went there, and it seemed as if, as you look at it now, all right, it's over with. They got their pound of flesh, we move on. The problem then is Aroldis Chapman 100%. Now, he may think that he is going out there and protecting his teammates, but what he is doing is unleashing a true weapon. I mean, his left arm is just that when you can throw the ball 100 miles an hour, and you are throwing an up and into three straight batters, including behind the head of somebody. It's wrong. It's dead wrong, and Chapman was so out of line, it's not even funny, for instigating this entire thing. And this is what we had the problem with Joe Kelly several weeks back with the Dodgers. You can go and drill somebody. You can go and take care of it the way it's supposed to be taken care of. And the Yankees had seemingly done that. But Chapman, for whatever reason, got all fired up and felt like he had to go out there and turn this into a lot more than it had been at that point. And now Chapman has squarely put his teammates in danger. Whereas he may have had the intent of trying to protect him, he's made it infinitely worse, and the direct threat is now there from Kevin Cash. How'd you like to be in the Yankee lineup, waiting to get absolutely drilled by somebody who's throwing the ball 98 miles an hour? Are the Rays going to come up and in? They're going to get warned before the game. Do they even care at this point, considering what just happened? To me, Chapman is so wrong and should be suspended, and should get, frankly, a decent-sized suspension. He should get, at the very least, what Joe Kelly got, because he was instigating the entire thing. Yeah, Cash can't say what he said, but he was pissed off by everything that had transpired so far, and who could blame him? So now your teammates have to defend you. I mean, just listen for a second to a comment that Zach Britton, who is a consummate pro, has to make in defense of Chapman, something that we just all know is complete crap. I can't even put it through the Yankee translator. It's such complete crap.
What was this, Chappie's third inning? I mean, he's working through some rust. He didn't have, you know, much of a buildup at all. You know, I mean, he's still not as sharp as he's going to be. So what they decide to do is on them, and we'll see how it transpires. But, you know, I would hope nothing would go further than what it did today.
Zach, you can't talk about the fact that Chapman is only in his fourth outing and he's still working his way back into it. We all know what just happened, and I understand he's trying to do the right thing, but that just sounds utterly ridiculous. And I'd be as pissed off as I could be at Chapman, because now I have to deal with the fallout of your stupidity. That's where teams can really get a little bit fractured. I'm not saying it's going to happen from this, but clearly there was a massive misunderstanding in what was going on between the Yankees and Rays. And Chapman just put his team in harm's way. What you really have to hope for is that just nothing comes of it and the Rays take the warning and cooler heads are able to prevail at some point. Boone said after the game he wouldn't necessarily seek out Cash to talk to, but that the two of them have a good relationship, and if they feel like they need to talk, then they'll talk. You would hope that Aaron Boone could be an intermediary here. Those are comments that are obviously going to bother him. He's an old school guy, but he's protecting his team first and foremost, and he doesn't want those guys getting hurt. Okay, as for the game itself, it was just refreshing in a few different ways. Number one, it's refreshing because of DJ LeMahieu. You know, again, we have talked about this so many times, but I don't think it can be harped on enough. When the guy goes into slumps, they are such minor slumps that may last a game or two, and he comes in and leads off with a home run and sets a tone right away, and then homers again later on. He's been so good, and the Yankees just should not be letting him even get to free agency. Look, we think they'll end up paying him the most anyway, but just remember how drastically things can change based on this season. It would scare me a little bit, and that's a deal that I would try to get done sooner rather than later. The guy has just been everything they have needed and more. Luke Voit as well. And then in the fifth inning, you know, Gio Urshela coming through and basically having a little league home run, a triple with an error because of a misplayed ball and a badly thrown relay to home plate. And Urshela with a fantastic slide. The Yankees scored three runs. I don't need to recap it for you. You know what happened. So with that, you know, they were able to back up their pitching. And boy, did they get it from Masahiro Tanaka. One bad pitch, and that was to Kevin Kiermaier for a two-run homer. Other than that, absolutely fantastic. And I thought the best part of the whole thing is that he's in the high 70s when Boone sends him back out there after what happened last time. And he came out after 66 and was gassed. And he looked as sharp as could be. And it was the third time through the heart of the order. And he went right through him like a hot knife through butter. Boy, that had to feel good for Masahiro Tanaka. And more importantly, that had to feel good for the Yankees to be able to see that. That he was as sharp as he was throughout the course of the game. That the one mistake he made, he paid for, yes. But he didn't make the mistake again. And he was on point. Boy, that's got to feel good. Another good sign was the return of Zach Britton, who came back from the DL, and he pitched the eighth inning, looked as sharp as could be, even though he said he was a little bit rusty. That was very encouraging as well. So it was a good night, and it was important for the Yankees to beat the Rays because they had beaten them 7 out of 8. And as I said yesterday on the podcast, they've been kicking their ass all over the field. At least on one night for the Yankees, they were able to do it back to the Rays. And I do think it is somewhat important to win this series, to find a way to get the series finale. And you're going to be facing Charlie Morton coming off the DL, IL, whatever it is. And you've got Jordan Montgomery going. But I do think for their psyche, just knowing that they can beat the Rays consistently and not lose a season series to them where they drop 8 of 10, incredibly important to me. I just think moving forward, because they are going to be in the middle of that pack and they're going to have to face the Rays again, I would think, at some point. Yes, they are still fighting for the division, but this is the last time the two teams are going to get together in the regular season. So bear that in mind. The Yankees will get the Blue Jays 10 times, who are also nipping at their heels right now. And then finally, as far as the roster's concerned, one thing that was very interesting, and it tells you what they think of Eric Kratz helping out Davey Garcia. The Yankees kept three catchers when they were getting back Kyle Higashioka. They kept Kratz, and I think that was directly related to Davey Garcia pitching again for them very soon at the end of the week. And the reason is, first of all, Garcia was the 29th man in the doubleheader, if you're wondering why he can come back without an injury. That guy is allowed to. But secondly, I mean, we obviously saw, not just through the hug, but just how well they work together. And I'm sure that the Yankees, given the fact that they're not exactly getting a ton of offense from Gary Sanchez right now, will not hesitate to give Eric Kratz a start behind the plate for Garcia if that's going to be the difference for a 21-year-old pitcher who really has a strong opportunity to contribute to the Yankees down the stretch of this season. That's why he is still here. The Yankees had no interest in trading him away or Clark Schmidt or Clint Frazier at this point for what was available to them. So they are counting on Garcia to pitch some games here down the stretch of the season and give them some big outings. And whatever's going to help him do that, if it's Kratz, great. All right, that does it for this edition of Savages in the Box. We'll see if it gets ugly on Wednesday, and you know we will have it all for you on Thursday morning. Carlin out.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.